You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the SmartCast Micro Learning Podcast Series on Ulcerative Colitis, hosted by Med Learning Group. My name is Kia Jones, Medical Director at Med Learning Group, and I will be the host of today's podcast. This is the second of five podcasts in the series titled Treatment Selection in Ulcerative Colitis, Optimizing Outcomes Through Patient-Centered Decision-Making. Today's podcast will focus on the assessment of bowel urgency in clinical trials of ulcerative colitis. Joining me today is Dr. Marla Dubinsky, co-director of the Susan and Leonard Feinstein IBD Clinical Center, professor of pediatrics and medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine, Mount Sinai, and chief of the Division of Pediatric GI and Nutrition at Mount Sinai Kravis Children's Hospital in New York, New York. Welcome, Dr. Dubinsky. We are so thrilled to have you back with us to discuss bowel urgency in UC, specifically in regard to UC clinical trials.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to continuing this conversation.
So in the first podcast of this series, we discuss what bowel urgency is and the profound impact it has on patient well-being. Still, despite it being one of the most widely reported and debilitating symptoms of UC, bowel urgency is not widely incorporated into clinical assessment indices or clinical trial endpoints. So can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It's kind of interesting is that until we started uncovering and finding out from patients anonymously what are some of the most bothersome symptoms, we sort of never really held any treatment to that bar. And so when you take the journey of UC therapies that are out already on the market and leading up to the most recent ones, this is what we know, is that until really the mirikizumab study, which is the IL-23 antibody, monoclonal antibody, is no one has ever really measured urgency severity. That there have been questions about, do you have urgency or experiencing urgency? Yes, no. And that we saw with the upadacitinib trial. And then the severity of urgency, not just yes or no, but actually asking how much this has impacted their lives. We've only recently seen that with the two latest approvals for ulcerative colitis, one being etrasimod, that was approved most recently, and mirikizumab, that was most recently approved as well. So it really wasn't even in the foreground to even ask this question, because we were so myopically thinking solely about rectal bleeding, stool frequency, and what the endoscope looked like in clinical trials. And that's what we held drug approvals against, not against the patient-reported outcome that appears to be the most debilitating and the one symptom burden that patients want their treatments to most target.
Right. So now that bowel urgency has kind of come to the forefront and providers are more aware of it as a, you know, very bothersome symptom, what are some of the patient-reported outcome measures for bowel urgency?
Yeah, so there's a few that are validated and meet the FDA guidance on a true validated patient-reported outcome measure. Urgency, yes, no, as noted, is not a validated PRO outcome measure. But when you talk about severity, there are a few, there's not really many beyond the urgency NRS score, which is the, as noted, the urgency numeric rating scale, which is a scale of 0 to 10, which means a total of 11 point scale, which specifically asks patients in the last 24 hours, how severe has your urgency been, with 0 being none and 10 being most severe. And what we've shown from some of our psychometric evaluations of the urgency NRS is we did show change. That's important to look at in the week 12 of exposure to mirikizumab, for example. We did see a change from a urgency score that was deemed to be not in remission, which is above three and above in terms of our score of 0 to 10, meaning you have some sort of urgency. And urgency remission, which is a score less than 3 was deemed that you're in remission. So 0, 1, or 2 actually, but at least a 3-point improvement was really what we found to be most meaningful. So we've looked across different ways on how to interpret and how using psychometric evaluations, how patients perceive urgency improvement, which is 1, and also what is urgency remission. So we've done a lot of work with interviews, asking patients exactly how they foresee 0, for example, versus a score of 10. And this is what we've come up with. There are other PROs, which is the symptom severity scale that has been used to look at severity or look at urgency as a standalone PRO. But in reality, the Mayo or the modified Mayo score, or even the partial modified Mayo score, does not address urgency, which is why there was such an important need to look at urgency as a regulatory outcome that is validated and meets the regulatory benchmark of a PRO per our regulatory agencies like the FDA.
Absolutely. That's, you know, really, really great points you brought up. And now having the urgency numeric rating scale as a validated tool that's going to specifically look at urgency, I imagine that's really going to change the game. Can you talk a little more about UC therapies that have demonstrated efficacy in improving bowel urgency?
If we start with what trials have even measured urgency, just a reboot here, is that the current upadacitinib trial, which was the trial looking at the JAK inhibitor, upadacitinib, there was a question around urgency, but it was a yes-no. So sort of do you or don't you experience urgency? No reference to severity. The etrasimod study, which is an S1P receptor modulator, did indeed actually look at the urgency NRS as a marker of urgency severity. And then really where the game sort of changed for me is the mirikizumab study, which has looked at it throughout their program being front and center as a key secondary endpoint to the trial, which is amazing when you think about the fact that, as noted, it's always been about the Mayo endoscopic score, rectal bleeding and stool frequency. And now we've brought to the forefront that this is a key secondary endpoint in the mirikizumab trial that really held our drugs to task and said, do you have a meaningful improvement, which is a 3-point improvement? Do you have patients actually experiencing bowel urgency remission or bowel urgency response, for example? Is that we finally now have data to support that you can actually use a severity score such as the urgency NRS in a clinical trial. And I'm happy to say also that now that the bar has been set, I've sort of been when future industry partners talk to me around the importance of it, it makes me happy to tell them that I believe this is the new bar, because just asking a patient a yes, no answer does not get into how deeply this symptom impacts their life and get into the conversation about the severity of this symptom and what is really stopping them, as noted, from having full control of their condition and really being able to leave their home, not feeling isolated, not needing to wear a protective garment. Like, as noted, about up to 50% of our patients say they have urgency at least once a day. And close to 50% of our patients in these Confide Anonymous survey tells us that they actually wear a diaper or protective garment at least once a week. I mean, those to me are shocking numbers and really shakes me to my core as a physician, because now, ever since I saw that data, I've completely changed my approach. And I know that patients are worried to bring it up to me. And I proactively say, I now understand that I need to ask you the severity of this symptom. And I now have a way of measuring and quantifying it.
Wow, that's really interesting. And I like how you phrase that. It is indeed a new bar. And now that we, you know, are aware of the importance of assessing bowel urgency, you know, in our clinical trials, What do you see the future of bowel urgency management in UC looking like? How do we prioritize bowel urgency and treatment decisions and just in general improve awareness of its effect on patients' quality of life?
So it sort of feels like it's been my mission for the last couple of years and is to actually make this front and center. And if I walk out of any symposium or conference where I was given the task of sort of evangelically, in a sense, explaining the importance of bowel urgency, if I can change one person's life after that talk, I feel like I've done a good deed. It is so critical that we who are out there often talking about new therapies, talking about new ways to measure the success of our treatments, bowel urgency is now going to be on the top of the list. It has finally risen to a point where it is the lens through which we see patients. That, great, you have less blood, but I can tell you that that blood was not stopping my patient from going out of the house, was not stopping my patient from going to work. What was stopping my patient from going to work or socializing or engaging in intimate relationships was the fear of bowel urgency. So we have done a good thing, I believe, for our patients, is that we are going to be using that to be the bar for which we either need to optimize our therapies, advanced our therapies beyond mesalamines that are serving solely as anti-inflammatories. If we're not getting patients to actually be in remission or within a very low score on severity, then we as providers have not done our job. So I think really what is happening now is we have bubbled up the importance of it. And now that mirikizumab is actually approved as of yesterday, that we will be able to now bring urgency to the entire forefront of how we present data when it comes to key endpoints in clinical trials. So I know that this has bubbled to the top, which makes me really excited about communicating this to the masses, because this is what our patients want us to strive and choose therapies based on. And it's finally going to be at the forefront of the conversation.
Wow. It's really obvious in the way, the passion that you speak about bowel urgency, that, this is really something very important to you. And I'm sure our listeners are going to feel the same way. So, thank you so much for bringing up all of these excellent points. It really is an exciting turning point, I think, for UC. So again, thank you so much for sharing your expertise in bowel urgency and ulcerative colitis with us, Dr. Dubinsky.
Thank you again.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us. This podcast was brought to you by Med Learning Group. Med Learning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would like to also give a special thank you to our grant supporter, Lily, who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational activity.